You right to go? Okay, my name's Josh Stewart, and I'm just going to be giving a brief talk today on a piece of software that I'm writing that I'm calling Gloss. Now, Gloss is an alternative front end to Myth TV. A lot of people might wonder why you'd do such a thing with the existing front end being so good, but there's a couple of reasons that I'll get to. It's important to realise, though, that it's not meant to replace the original, and it's just to be another option out there. You know, everyone loves options in the open source world. It's designed to be a complete drop-in replacement, so absolutely no edits. Oh. No problems. So yeah, it's designed to be a complete drop-in replacement, so no reconfiguring of your back-end or anything like that. If you've got an existing front end running on a machine, you can fire this up and run with it straight away, and it should pick up all your settings. It's written in Python and uses the Clutter framework. Now, there's been a number of reasons for doing that. The first one was I really wanted to keep it absolutely as simple as possible. I wanted to make it really easy for new developers to come in and write new plugins or write new effects, transitions, and things like that. For those who haven't heard of the Clutter framework, it's essentially an OpenGL wrapper to allow you to do 2D and 3D effects fairly simply in Linux, and it's just an amazing piece of work. It makes doing this sort of thing a lot simpler than it ever was in the past. So why would you, rewrite the Myth front end when there's already something so mature out there? I've subscribed to the Myth TV dev mailing list for quite some time now, and there are so many complaints on there and on forums elsewhere about Myth's front end having a fairly dated look these days. Nobody's arguing that the functionality is not there. It's a really mature system, but a lot of people do complain that, okay, this is looking a few years old now. There's even more complaints on top of that about the interface for Myth Music and it being a bit backwards and not exactly the simplest thing to use. I also wanted, as I mentioned before, a simpler, more straightforward system. Not to say that Myth is complex at the moment, but there's an awful lot of options in there and there's an awful lot of things you've got to get right. And for a new user, it can be pretty intimidating. Sometimes a user just wants to fire an application up, see their system and be able to run with it straight away and be happy with it. It's easy to work on, written in Python, you can pick it up, look at the code and run with it pretty much straight away. It's also very modular, allowing plugins and things like that to be written fairly quickly. And it was also something for me to pass the time with because I needed a project to work on. So that's about all for the formal side of my talk. So I'm just going to go through a bit of a demo of it. So that's the initial front screen, which probably a lot of you will recognise and say, hey, that looks like Windows Media Center, the original version. Or it looks like the Myth TV MCE theme, which it is, because most of the graphics are pulled straight off it. Okay, so we have a fairly basic sort of menu system. You can see that there's animations all over the place rather than just things jumping around. There's some scaling occurring on those menu items. And some fades for the images on the left and that sort of thing. Each one of the options in the menu here is just its own discrete module. They exist completely separately to one another. They get picked up at runtime and that sort of thing. So the first one I'll show you is just a very basic slideshow module. This will just pick up directories. If you've got Myth Gallery already installed, it'll just pick up your settings for that and run with it. The other thing to note is just that these menus are scrollable in case they're too long. So we'll fire up demo 9 and you get a basic slideshow playing. It'll also play any audio files that are in the directory with the images and that sort of thing. A lot of this has been designed around what you can get from Apple's Front Row at the moment, which it is a bit of a blatant rip-off, but a lot of people are asking for that in the Linux space. You know it's true, don't worry. Okay. I would demo TV, but unfortunately I don't have a back end running on my laptop because I don't have a tuner in there or anything. The TV functionality between the back end and front end does actually work at the moment. It's quite limited. You can't change channels, you can't watch recordings, but the protocol is implemented, so it shouldn't be too much work to get that sort of thing happening. The other one that does work is the videos module. It's probably my fault. This obviously resembles the existing Myth video module for the front end at the moment. It's just got a few slightly nicer effects on it. You can scroll through your videos. All of this will be just picked up from the from your current Myth database. You can play back a movie without any problems. There's basic controls in the movie. All the playback is done through GStreamer as well, so anything that GStreamer will play will run through this. Now the other thing I just want to show is the theming abilities. So I'm just going to change the current theme that's in use. So if everyone cringed before when I mentioned Apple, you'll probably cringe again when you see this. Obviously this is going to be taken from Apple, but you get some slightly different effects and that sort of thing. These effects are all pluggable as well. They're very simple to write. They're very trivial to write once you've got an understanding of the way Clutter works. And being in Python, you can write one of these in 10 or 15 minutes if you know what you're doing. And the transition that you can use on those pictures can be set within the theme, obviously. We'll just quit out of there. You can see that we've still got a slide transition going between these menus. I'm just going to show you, if we edit the theme file, we change that from slide to be zoom fade, which is another transition that I've got loaded. You can see that you'll now get something different. So once I've built up a little bit of a library of these transitions, I guess. Anyone who's creating a new theme will have a lot of different things to play with it and have at their disposal. So that's really about all I wanted to go through today in my talk. I'm really trying to get some hands on deck to get some help at the moment. If you're a GStreamer person, a Myth TV person who knows about the front end back end protocol, or you're someone who's got some ideas for an interface, or you've got some mock-ups that you thought would be really good for a media center, please contact me because I really want to talk to you. Other than that, thank you very much. Sure. The question is in regards to what the performance is like with Clutter. My experience has been that Python doesn't have an effect on it. All Python is doing is calling the libraries that are already written in C with Clutter. Most of the juddering that you're getting is simply my laptop. That's running on an Intel card there, so your OpenGL graphics aren't going to be too flash. If I run this on my MythBox at home with an NVIDIA, they're all perfectly smooth. So. The playback with GStreamer does take, or combination of GStreamer and Clutter does take a little bit more processing power, because it's actually, my understanding is that it's actually processing the video and swapping it onto video memory. So it does take a little bit more grunt to do that sort of thing.
Does Clutter have any color management support for doing calibrated video?
The question is, does Clutter have any color management support for video playback? Not to my knowledge. I'm not a Clutter expert. I didn't write it, but I haven't ever seen it. I haven't ever tried to use it personally. My guess would be that if it's available in GStreamer, it would be available in Flutter. But that's only if it's not. Okay. Any other questions? No? Okay, thank you all.
Have we got sound there? A couple of years ago at a Linux audio group meeting that we ran, Conrad, in the way that he does, pulled out his laptop and said, hey, check this out, and showed me Croquet, which is a collaborative 3D environment aimed at educational collaboration, really, written in Smalltalk under the Squeak environment. Excuse me if I get some of the details wrong. I'm very much a user. I work in the music department at Macquarie University in Sydney. Anyway, I saw that and I thought, oh yeah, okay, all right, but what does it mean for me? And a couple of years later, delving into Smalltalk just for fun, really, and Squeak, and discovered that Croquet uses a 3D sound engine called OpenAL, I think it is. And started fiddling around and found you could attach sounds to objects and things. So excuse me for not being particularly technical. I might just show it to you and you can see what's going on, and then I can talk a little bit about the code, but a little bit being the operative word. I'll just get this connected. Again, I'm used to feedback loops. It's what I do for a living, but you might not be so. dealing with managing. I teach audio engineering, so we continually deal with incredible feedback loops. So what I'm going to do is turn the sound off, and I'll just play around with this and not talk, and you can just see what it does. You weren't getting any audio out of the main speakers there for some reason. But you get the idea. And if you have it's a surround sound system, so I can't really demonstrate it without some nice speakers at the back. But if you get yourself in a nice surround situation, you as the chicken can move through some fairly nice spatial sound environments. And I found it very useful with students and with staff members, in fact, to demonstrate to them the power of open source multimedia software. It's instantly available to the kind of lay user and is a lot of fun. And it's very, very straightforward to code. You just get these cubes, you attach a sound to it, you drop it into the space, and that's all it takes. That's kind of good for the amateur coder. That's pretty much all it does. If anyone wants to muck around with it or try some of the code, they're welcome to. That's some of it there. Goodness gracious. So, where are we? Navigator world, initialize. Can't possibly see that, can you? Can you? No. So, you know, this first line, you make a new space, register that space within the Croquet system, make a light, make a floor, and then this one here is just an array of pitch samples, and then I just go through and attach those samples to different cubes. One of the interesting things for me as a musician is working out the limitations of this. So I started thinking of having grand ideas as to sort of the composition that you might be able to develop with something like this, and realise that once you get to sort of 9 or 10 samples of a particular length, it all falls over in a very ugly manner. So cutting those samples back and building some sort of environment is something that I'm interested in doing. So short samples, things that link together, so there's a lot of silence with the samples, some samples work together, others don't, with the idea of perhaps some sort of alternative music instrument, I guess, is the idea, and you can turn it on and off and that sort of thing. At the moment they loop endlessly, but you have a choice over that, yeah. And Doppler effect, I guess, that, you know, might be fun.
How fast does the chicken need to run before you start hearing it?
I did actually delve into the documents of the... And I think all of that sort of material can be set as well.
Can you script the cubes to move around themselves?
Yes, yeah. So for a bit of easy fun for amateur coders like me, Croquet is an extraordinary environment. That's all really. The question was, are there different output environments for different surround options? All I'm doing is running the standard ALSA configuration for surround. So I don't know what I would do in that situation. I guess you just change the plug.
Yeah. Are we just looking at stereo
here? I've actually got these set up for the front, left and right, but nothing's going in there. These for the rear.
All right.
So you are actually hearing the rear surround there. Yeah. It's kind of meaningless in this environment, but...